I want to read the scripture reading in a version that may be more consistent with the way we speak. And I want to share with you that when I first read this scripture, I was troubled by two things. And so the message today would deal with the two things that bothered me. Notice the past tense, bothered. It doesn't anymore, because God has given me an understanding that I hope to give to you today. Is that all right? Father in heaven, just come now and share your word with your children. In Jesus' name, let the saints all say, amen. Amen. Onesimus, the runaway slave. We will read alternately the scripture reading. I would go first. In line with all this, I have a favor to ask you. This is Paul. As Christ's ambassador and now a prisoner for him, I wouldn't hesitate to command this if I thought it necessary. But I'd rather make it a personal request. Your turn. I wanted, in the worst way, to keep him here as your stand-in to help out while I'm in jail for the message. But I didn't want to do anything behind your back. Make you do a good deed that you didn't or you hadn't willingly agreed to.
Maybe it is all
so if you still consider me a comrade in arms, welcome him back as you would me if he damaged anything or owes you anything. Chalk it up to my account. This is my personal signature, Paul, and I stand behind it. I know you well enough to know you will. You'll probably go far beyond what I've written. And by the way, get a room ready for me. Because of your prayers, I fully expect to be your guest again. Paul was in Colossae. And while there, through his preaching, a slave owner was converted, Philemon. The slave owner had a slave by the name of Onesimus. Sometime after the stay in Colossae, Paul went to Rome. And what do some slaves want to do is run away. And so Onesimus ran away, and where did he land? In Rome. And who did he meet in Rome? Paul. And Paul was in prison in Rome for preaching the gospel. Onesimus in Colossae, a slave belonging to Philemon, had not accepted the gospel. The one who preached then was Paul. And now Paul is in Rome in prison, and Onesimus accepts the gospel. It's amazing that sometimes someone would be moved because of your calamity. Paul, a free man in Colossae, did not move Onesimus to accept the gospel. But here in Rome, in prison, Onesimus says, I love this Jesus you're talking about. Don't be down on yourself where you may be, because you never know how God may use in spite of your circumstance. So here is Paul writing a letter and giving it to Onesimus to say, go back to your master. That bothered me when I read the scripture. Because I'm thinking, at the very least, Paul, you must know slavery is not of God. And how can you be sending this guy back to Philemon to be a slave? That bothered me. Onesimus was a slave. Also bothered me. Because when I read the text, I assumed that since he was a slave, he must be of African descent. Dr. King this morning spoke of word association. Elijah McCoy. Through him, we had a successful industrial revolution. It was because of his lubricating system. The world enjoyed advancement in machinery. Word association. So I read Onesimus, a slave, and said, this must be a black guy from Detroit. Maybe I'm alone with the myths we have. I said, number one, this is a black guy. Number two, Paul was wrong for not using the occasion to condemn slavery. Well, let me share a few things for us. Paul's letter was written from Rome and sent to Colossae sometime between AD 56 and 60. During that time, there is no record in secular history about Africans living in the Byzantine Empire, modern day Turkey. There's no historical data that said there were black people in Turkey at that time. Around that period, slavery had more to do with one's social standing or becoming property as a result of a military campaign. After the 10th century, the major source of slaves in Turkey were often Slavs and Bulgarians, which resulted from military campaigns in the Balkans and lands north of the Black Sea. So the association that Onesimus must have been of African descent, we should disabuse ourselves of that notion. There were no black people in Turkey at that time. The question is, I want you to read the question with me. Why do some people believe Onesimus was of African descent? And if you're telling me you read the Bible and never thought or had this association, you liberated. God be praised. But some of us had this picture of Onesimus and slavery being a black guy. And with good reason. With good reason. The question is why? Well, in a place called Ababura, Ethiopia, in 1856, a baby boy was born. His father gave him the name Hika, H-I-K-A, which really means translator. When the boy was 4 years of age, his father died. And this is Ethiopia. Some folk came in and stole him from his mother. And in a 10-year span, Hika was sold four times. And one trader changed his name, called him Nassib. So we have this guy in 1856. Well, he was eventually purchased by Werner Munzinger, who was the vice consul of the French consulate, and he recognized that this boy was a brilliant boy, and he gave him his freedom. And he sent him to the Swedish evangelical mission in Eritrea. And this boy, who had learned to read at an early age, excelled in his classes, and he became a Christian when he was 16 years of age. And one of the first things he did after learning to read, and he read the Bible, and he read Philemon, he gave himself the name Onesimus. He called himself. In 1831, his translation of the Bible in his native Oromo language was published. Remember, his father must have had some prophetic vision, because at his birth he called him Hika, which means translator. Don't despise the name your parents gave to you. And so he grew up. Well, this is what he looked like. This is Onesimus Nassib. But look at the timeline. He operated in the 19th century. But here we have Onesimus, the slave that Paul spoke about, was AD 50. So it couldn't be the same guy. So we do carry some myths about black people. It is a myth to conclude that Onesimus in this story was a slave of African descent. Are we clear on that right now? He was not. This is what this painting depicts, and this is most likely what he looked like. Onesimus and Philemon. You see any black folk there? All right. So there's a question for us. I wonder what other myths there may be about people of African descent today. I just wonder. A question. Just wonder. There are some things that they say about black folk. Read with me what it says. Really? Black people what? Have you heard that before? Black people have smaller brains than whites. All black people look alike. If you are black, you can sing. My exhibit A, we have seen in this church, I've seen the group singing, and I noticed a young man standing here, tall and handsome. I wouldn't tell you his name. I think they call him Daniel or Dan. Have you ever seen his wife singing? It is with good reason. This idea that all black people can sing, don't get it twisted. It is with good reason. Now, exhibit B. I just thought of it as the choir was singing this morning. Have you ever heard all black people have rhythm? Yeah. Exhibit B. You notice the choir director at a certain time was clapping, but only two people could clap. There, I saw no white people up here today, but some of them didn't clap with good reason. All black people don't have rhythm. Black people are lazy. Have you heard that before? And then black people abuse the welfare system. Have you heard that before? Here is something we need to know. The nation has some programs to assist people that are poor. One, women, infants, and children, we call WIC. SNAP, read what it says. AKA food stamps. Temporary assistance for needy families. These are programs for poor people. And then there is the myth. Read what it says. Myth. This is Black History Month, so I hope you'll engage me. In reality, approximately 40% of Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program recipients are white, making white people the largest racial group on food stamps. It's just a fact. I'm just trying to shatter a myth. And when it comes to temporary assistance for needy families, recipients approximately 30% are white, 30% are Latino, and 30% are black, with several other racial groups making up the remaining 10% of recipients. There are certain myths that we carry that are not true. So I was very concerned in my own mind that I just assumed that Onesimus was of African descent. That's a myth. The second thing that bothered me was the guy who was writing, Paul. My thought was Paul should have been anti-slavery. This guy comes over, gets baptized, and you send him back with a letter to boot. He's carrying the letter to say, I stole your money, I got converted, and now I'm coming back. My sentiments were more with William Lloyd Garrison, who was the editor of the newspaper, The Liberator. In 1831, this is what he says, no man can love God who enslaves another. That was my sentiment until I began to read more about this book and what the book was all about. John 8, 33 to 36. If we think this is a story about slavery, it is. But it's not the kind of slavery we're thinking about. Here, Onesimus becomes a follower of Christ. And Paul says to Philemon, when he gets to you, I want you to accept him as if he is your brother. Because he is now one of us. He loves Jesus just as how you love Jesus. Something is wrong in our society when the one foundation we have of Christ is not enough to keep us from warring with each other. You remember a country called Rwanda. Let me lower my voice in case the wrong people are hearing me. But did you know that there were Seventh-day Adventists, Hutus and Tutsis, almost 1 million people got slaughtered? These were people who chose tribalism above their Christianity. We may look at them and say, wow, that is awful, but I wonder, do we here do the same thing? Do we, am I prone to accept that I have more in common with a black West Indian who doesn't know my God than a white Christian who knows my God? What we need to appreciate is that Paul is saying to Philemon, the master, you own him, he robbed you, but he is now one just like you in that his Jesus is your Jesus. We need to get to a place where our Christianity supersedes every other thing on this earth. Unfortunately, sometimes culture is given the top spot. Christianity, God, Jesus says, Paul is saying, listen, Jesus is master of all. And he died so we can be free. Therefore, when Onesimus comes back to you, treat him as if he were your brother. And Paul went on to say, man, this Paul wasn't easy, you know. Did you read the letter? Paul says, I don't want to remind you, but you owe me your very life. And then Paul says in verse 22, I know you guys are praying for me, and because of your prayers, I'm expecting to be let out of prison. I'm coming back to Colossae. In other words, Philemon, when you get the letter, Paul says, get a guest room for me. Paul is saying, if you don't do what I'm telling you, I'm going to be there to take care of business. He's laying it on thick on Philemon. We may be thinking this is a story about slavery, and it is. But let's read what the text says. Jesus said, together, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is in fact what? A slave. A slave is transient who can't come and go at will. The son, though, has an established position, the run of the house. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. So Paul, when I first read it, my thinking was, you should be talking about the injustices of slavery. And Paul was saying to me, I'm beyond that. I'm talking about being set free from the slavery of sin. The Greeks used the word doulos, which is translated slave. But the same word doulos is translated servant. And Paul says, before he was profitable to you, he was useful, but now he's coming back even more useful because he is a servant of Jesus Christ. So here is what Paul is saying. This book with just one chapter is about relationships. It's about the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus, Philemon and Paul, Onesimus and Paul. It is about emancipation. You remember that word? Setting the slave free. I think the late Bob Marley, who would be 75 now, he said, emancipate yourself somewhat. Mental. You don't listen to Bob Marley? Slavery. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. It's about emancipation. It's also about forgiveness. Paul is saying to Philemon, forgive Onesimus, but forgive him because Jesus Christ has forgiven you. You owe your life to forgiveness. So when you think of how he stole your money and he ran away, don't think about what he did. Think about what you did and how God forgave you. Onesimus was a slave. And he was running. Running is what slaves ought to do. But there are two prepositions. that we need to bear in mind. It's the preposition from, and it's the preposition to. We need to run from sin, but run to Jesus. So we ought to be running. The question is, are we running to sin and from Jesus? Or are we running to Jesus and from sin? Onesimus was running. Slaves ought to run, but we need to run in the right direction. Emancipation, forgiveness, but it's also about reconciliation. It's not enough to be free. It's not enough to forgive if you're not going to be reconciled. Paul reminds us that Jesus Christ came to earth to reconcile us back to the Father. So the question for me today, if I am a slave, Onesimus or otherwise, to whom am I being reconciled? But none of this could have happened. We couldn't have emancipation. We couldn't have forgiveness. We could not have reconciliation without this. What is it say? Conversion. Philemon was converted. Paul used to be Saul. He was on mission killing people. But he was met on the road to Damascus and he was converted. Onesimus ran from Colossae, ended up in Rome, but he too was converted. So for us today, God wants to free us from sin. And the way he does that is through conversion by the Holy Spirit. So we have to decide, are we running from sin or to sin? Are we running from Christ or to Christ? I want you to think of yourself in the context of your nationality and how much you pride that above being one in Jesus. Being one in Jesus should come above everything else. That is why the Apostle Paul said, come on, Devante, in Christ, there is no Jew, nor Greek, nor bond, nor free, no male nor female, but we're all what? One in Christ Jesus. Onesimus was a runaway slave, but then he became a servant of Jesus Christ. What are the myths you hold about yourself? What are the myths you carry about other groups? And do you believe that you have more in common with your fellow believers than the people with whom you share some cultural relationship? What God says to us through the story of Onesimus is that our relationship should be predicated on the foundation of Jesus Christ himself. None of this would have happened in terms of a reconciliation if Philemon was not converted, if Onesimus was not converted, or if the Apostle Paul were not converted. It is because of conversion to the one person, Jesus Christ. And when we think of Onesimus Nesbit, here's a young man who was a slave but became free when he learned to follow Jesus Christ. And he chose to take his time and rewrite the Bible so the people from his birth area could read the Bible for the first time and they themselves become converted. This morning, I trust that we will not leave with the misconception that this man Paul wrote about was of African descent. I trust we will not leave with the misconception that Paul was not saying the right thing. He was not speaking about social justice. Paul was saying, if you are a slave to sin, Jesus Christ can set you free. Father in heaven, we want to be runaway slaves today. But we're not running from you. We want to run to you. Because John tells us, if the Son sets us free, then we are free indeed. Help us to remove the myths about ourselves. When someone says, you're not going to make it, remind us that Jesus says, with Christ, all things are possible. In Christ, I can do all things because He strengthens me. May we leave today with a conviction, reminding ourselves that we have more in common with believers than we have with non-believers. May we not be divided to the point where we become so hateful that we're willing to sacrifice people because they're not from the same tribe. Teach us, Father, from this lesson of Onesimus, may we forever be not a slave to the devil, but a servant of Jesus Christ. This we ask and pray for in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen.